Returning in God's Word to the Song of Solomon, back again to the Song of Solomon, chapter 7. Song of Solomon, chapter 7. We're going to read again from verse 1 here and read down to verse 9. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 1. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter! The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon, by the gate of Bath Rabbim. Thy nose is as a tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breasts to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breasts shall be as clusters of the vine. The smell of thy nose like apples, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved. It goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. Amen. May God again bless the reading of his truth to our hearts. Let's ask for God's help now as we come to the preaching of his word today. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the reading of thy word. We thank you, Lord, thy word is truth, and it is that which leads us and guides us into all truth. And we pray, O God, you would enable us even today to have attentive ears to the word of God. Thy word tells us, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And we pray, O God, that we would hear your word today, that we would hear the voice of God speaking in his truth. We pray, O God, every other voice, every other noise, every other clamor of this word would be silenced. And that, O God, we would hear thee speak to us today. Come, O God, and minister to us by thy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, you have given to us your very word. And, Lord, it is that which is profitable to our spiritual well-being. And we pray, O God, you'll just apply your truth to each one of our hearts and lives today. Give me help in the preaching of thy word. Again, we come to thee as a weak vessel needing the anointing of your Spirit. Come, O God, and fill us for service. And may we be able to preach your word in a way that brings glory to your name. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last time in our study of the Song of Solomon, we considered the opening six verses in chapter 7. And we noted in these verses how the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of the attractiveness of his bride. Or he speaks of the attractiveness of his spouse. In the eyes of the Lord Jesus, his people are a most attractive and beautiful thing. They are so appealing and they are so delightful to him that he says of his people in verse 6 here, how fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. In the eyes of Christ, his people are fair. They are pleasant. They are his delight. It truly is a thing most wonderful that Christ could view his people in this way. One of the unique and distinguishing features of the true Christian is they view nothing in themselves that is attractive. They consider their lives to be unworthy and unappealing. And they even mourn over their own spiritual weakness and failings. And this is what the true Christian does. The true Christian can see nothing of value and virtue in their lives. As the Spirit of God illuminates their hearts and minds and reveals to them their sin, reveals to them the filth of their sin, the true believer can see nothing of value and virtue in their own heart or in their own life. In fact, the true believer stands in amazement at how God in Christ could love them and could save them. We can think of the great apostle Paul. As Paul considered himself, as he viewed his own life, he said in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am. And remember, this was Paul speaking as a believer. This was Paul speaking as a Christian. And as he viewed his own heart, as he viewed his own life, he said, I'm a wretched man. Oh, how wretched, how vile, how horrible I am. He's saying, there's nothing attractive, there's nothing appealing within me. This is how the true Christian will consider and will view their own life as being a thing which is unattractive and unappealing. And yet, At the same time, we must never forget how Christ views his own redeemed people. How Christ views the Christian. The prophet Isaiah put it this way in Isaiah 62 and 5. As the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. As the bridegroom rejoices over his bride. And it's thinking there about his bride who is recently married. And how he delights in his bride. How he rejoices over his bride. Well, this is exactly how Christ rejoices over his people. He loves them. They're precious. They are his delight. As God's people, this ought to fill our hearts with the greatest gladness and delight. We belong to Christ. And because we are his, because we are his bride, he views us as a thing of beauty. He considers us precious. And he loves us with an everlasting love. This is what God's salvation does. It takes an ugly sinner who is under the curse and judgment of God. And God's salvation causes that sinner to be an attractive and appealing thing to Christ. This is the very nature of God's salvation. It causes the sinner to be the recipient of God's favor and blessing. This is how wonderful, this is how unique, this is how powerful God's salvation is. Taking a sinner, a vile sinner that deserves hell, and makes that sinner a thing of beauty in the eyes of him who hates sin and loves righteousness. There's nothing else in this world that can cause a sinner to be attractive to Christ. Nothing else. Apart from his salvation. And so, of course, that brings us to a very important point. If you do not have Christ's salvation, if Christ is not your Savior, if you've never by faith embraced him in the gospel, if you've never claimed him as your spiritual husband and redeemer, then you've got no beauty in and of yourself which is attractive to God. In fact, it's the very opposite. In your sin, you're a thing that is greatly ugly in the sight of God. In your sin, you're a thing that is unclean and corrupt and vile. And this is how God looks upon you. And this is exactly how God will deal with you. In the judgment. The only thing that will make a sinner delightful and precious in the eyes of God is the salvation which Christ provides. And when a person, when a sinner embraces Christ in the gospel, then they are that thing of delight, that fair and pleasant thing. In the eyes of a holy God. And so in the opening 6 verses of chapter 7 in the Song of Solomon, the beauty of the Christian is brought before us. Today as we again come to this passage, I want us to consider verses 7 to 9. And the subject I want us to think upon as we turn to these words is the subject of the growing Christian. The subject of the growing Christian. Notice here in these verses the thought of growth and fruitfulness is very much in view. We read about palm tree and its boughs. It also speaks of the clusters of the vine and apples and new wine. And this is all bringing before us the idea or the thought of something which is alive. Something that is productive. Something that is growing. Something that is developing. Something that is producing something. A palm tree and boughs and a vine and grapes and apples here. It's all in view in this passage. And again, remember, this is Christ continuing to speak of his people. He's still speaking of the Christian here. Therefore, in verses 1 to 6, he's speaking of the attractiveness of the Christian. As we come now to verses 7 to 9, it is the growth, the spiritual growth or development of the Christian that is in view. That's what he's speaking of here. The growth of the Christian. Spiritual growth and spiritual development. Spiritual growth and development in the Christian life is something which God's word speaks of many times. Peter told God's people in 1 Peter 2 and 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And he was telling God's people there is a necessity to grow. There is a necessity to develop. Again, Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this was a command Peter gave to God's people. You're to grow in grace. Don't be stagnant. But develop. There is to be progress in your Christian experience. Paul said to the believers in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14 and 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. But in understanding be men.
And there is a thought there again of development. We're not to continually be like children in a spiritual sense, but there is a development. There is to be a development, a progress into manhood. Speaking to the church at Colossae, Paul told them his prayer for them was that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so Paul was praying for these believers. He was praying for the church in Colossae that they would develop, that they would increase and be fruitful in the knowledge of God. And so spiritual growth, Christian growth, is a prominent theme of New Testament teaching. It runs through all of Scripture, but it's particularly found there in the New Testament epistles. The need for growth, the need for development. The Christian is to be someone that is growing and that is developing in Christ. The very nature of salvation teaches us this. God gives them a spiritual life, and that which has life is continually developing and growing. It is then this theme that we're coming to consider today as we think on these words that are found in verses 7 to 9 in the 7th chapter of the Song of Solomon. The theme of the growing Christian. There are a number of things I want us to note here. Notice firstly with me the features of the growing Christian. The features of the growing Christian. Verse 7 tells us, this thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breasts to clusters of grapes. In this verse, three unique features of the growing Christian are brought before us. Three unique features. Notice here we have the desire of the growing Christian. The Christian or believer in these words is likened unto a palm tree. It says, this thy stature is like to a palm tree. The word stature here actually means height. It means height. We could literally read this verse, this thy height is like to a palm tree. And so it is the height or the tallness of a palm tree which is in view here. This is what the Spirit of God is drawing our attention to. The stature, the height, the tallness of the palm tree. The palm tree that is in view in these verses is the date palm tree. We'll come to that in a moment or two, but it is the date palm tree that is in view in these verses. The date palm tree grows to a height of approximately 75 feet. And it is a tree that grows straight up. From the moment this tree is planted, from the moment it is put into the earth, it has one desire. And that desire is to reach towards heaven, to grow upwards. Its trunk, in one straight line, stretches up, and it seeks to get taller and taller and taller, and it grows rapidly. It makes progress, and it doesn't make progress to the left or to the right. No, it goes straight up into the sky. The date palm tree has a straight trunk growing straight up towards heaven. The reason why the palm tree grows in this manner is because it desires to get closer and closer to the light of the sun. That is what it naturally seeks for. It seeks for the light of the sun. It climbs up, as it were, towards heaven to get closer to the light. As Christ then in verse 7 says of the Christian, this thy stature is like to a palm tree. He's speaking of the desire of the growing Christian. The Christian who is growing spiritually. The Christian who is developing more and more in the things of God has got this great desire to reach towards heaven and to live in a place that brings them closer to their God. Their stature, you see, is like the palm tree. This is the thought here. The palm tree is seeking to reach towards heaven. Well, this is the growing Christian. They're seeking to develop and to live in a closer relationship with God. The child of God who is maturing and growing up in the faith longs to be lifted up above the plane of this sinful world, and to live in a place where they will enjoy more and more warmth and the light of the Son of Righteousness shining upon them. This is the developing Christian. This is the growing Christian. They want to be lifted up above the plane of a sinful world. They don't want to live down in the midst of this sinful and wicked world consumed by earthly things. No, they want to rise up above it and to live a life that is closer to God, and enjoys more of God's presence, and enjoys more and more of the light of his countenance. This is the longing, this is the desire of the growing Christian. We can think of David, King David, and how he expressed this in Psalm 63. This is what David said. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. But think of what David is saying. He's expressing his soul's desire. He's expressing the longing of his heart. And he's saying, God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. He's hungering after God. He's designed to know God in a greater and in a fuller sense. Not merely to just continue to live as he is. No, David wants more. I want to know more of God. My soul is yearning for him. And he wants to know his power and grace in his life. See, this is the desire of the growing Christian. To rise up above this world. To live ever in closer communion with their God. Christian, is this your desire today? Is this the longing of your heart? Is it the case that you long to know God in a greater and in a fuller way? To reach new spiritual heights? Is this the longing of your soul? Or perhaps, as you're found in your Christian experience, you're just one who's coming and going, and there's no change, there's no development, there's no progressing. Every day is just the same as the day before. And if truth was to be told, there's no desire in your heart to progress. My friend, this is a very serious situation. Serious situation. Because the growing Christian will have this desire to know God more and more. And where there is no desire to know God in a greater way, and there is a very serious spiritual situation that has developed in your heart and in your soul. We have here the desire of the growing Christian. Then notice also here the diet of the growing Christian. As God's Spirit uses a tree to speak of Christian growth, we are reminded of the importance of a good diet, that we might grow spiritually as God's people. God uses a tree here, and he uses a tree for a reason. A tree cannot sustain itself. It cannot support itself. A tree, by its very nature, needs to be nourished. It needs to be fed. A tree draws its life and nourishment out of the earth. Its roots stretch deep into the soil, and they draw up nutrients and food so it can continue to develop, continue to grow, and continue to bear fruit. This is the nature of a tree. A tree is not something that can sustain itself. It needs to draw life from another source. And that's why its roots go deep down into the earth. That's why it spreads out its roots. That's why it sends them down deep into the earth to draw up life and food and nutrients that it might be sustained, that it might grow. And again, you're brought to see another very important feature in Christian growth. We as God's people are to grow spiritually. The enemy must feed our souls. There is a need to be nourished with spiritual food. That is imperative. Psalm 1 also brings this crucial thought before us by using a tree. We sang this psalm earlier, but it speaks about the blessed man. Shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Here we have the Christian that is growing and bearing fruit. The fruitful Christian. They're evergreen. They're bearing fruit in their season. They're advancing. They are like that great tree. That is strong and healthy. But note the reason why the blessed man is doing this. Because he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You think of that tree planted by a river. It has got a continual source of life. A continual source of food and nourishment. As its roots draw up water from the damp soil around the river, it is sustained. That continual supply to sustain it and to feed it. Believer spiritual development cannot be separated from a spiritual diet. Spiritual development cannot be separated from a spiritual diet. Therefore, let me just put it to you today. What is your spiritual diet like? What is your spiritual diet like? Are you feeding your soul on the Word? Are you sending, as it were, the roots of your heart deep down into the Scriptures, nourishing your soul every day in the Word of life, drawing food for your soul? Perhaps the only food you get for your soul is here in God's house once on the Lord's day. That's not much of a diet. If you're to eat but once in the week, physically you wouldn't last too long. Well, there is the need to nourish your soul in the Word. Are you nourishing your soul in communion with Christ? Drinking in, as it were, that fellowship with Him to feed your soul. Shallow and sickly Christianity, which is everywhere today, is but a symptom of a poor and trashy diet. That's what it is. A poor and trashy diet. When you look back to previous generations, and often people look back at the previous generations, and there was godly people. People that knew how to pray. People that knew the Lord. But these were people who knew the Word. People who lived in close communion with God. And that's why they were the people they were. Because they were people who fed their souls upon the truth. Now let me ask you again today, what is your spiritual diet like? Let's be honest before God today. Is there a nourishing your soul upon the bread from heaven? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of the Lord. Well, spiritual development cannot be separated from a spiritual diet. And so, the growing Christian, there will be the desire of the growing Christian, the diet of the growing Christian. You know, there's also here, as we think of the features of the growing Christian, there's the delight of the growing Christian. As I've already mentioned, the palm tree, which is in view in this passage, is the date palm tree. See again what it says in verse 7 here. This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breasts to clusters of grapes. Notice the last two words in verse 7 are in italics. That simply shows us that these words are not part of the original Hebrew text. They were not part of the original Hebrew text. The translators of the Authorized Version have just put them in to help with the sense of the passage. And that's why they're in the italics to reveal to us they weren't part of the original Hebrew text. But a more accurate reading would be clusters of dates instead of clusters of grapes. Because this is the date palm tree, a more accurate reading would be clusters of dates. And so what God is saying to us here is the mature Christian, the growing Christian, has breasts like clusters of dates. Breasts like clusters of dates. And as we read these words, it's hard for us to see the significance and meaning what it actually is saying here. What God's word is saying here. It's hard for us to grasp here. What does this mean? It seems strange language. But for someone living in the land of Israel and frequently eating dates from a palm tree, these words would not be hard to understand. They would not be hard to grasp. You see, the dates which the palm tree produced in abundance were very sweet. And they were filled with goodness. They were filled with nourishment and nutrients. They were very, very good. They were wholesome and of great food value. This was the character of the fruit of the date palm tree. Yet, what was really unique about the fruit of the date palm tree was this. The older the palm tree got, the more mature the palm tree got, the fruit which it produced was even sweeter, was of even more value. And it was produced in even more abundance. This is what was unique about the date palm tree. Normally, fruit trees would grow weaker as they supply fruit later on in life, but not the date palm tree. The older it got, the more mature it got, the more it produced fruit. And the fruit was even sweeter and of even more value. The mature palm tree was that which produced an abundance of fruit. Was delightful. The point that is then being made here of the Christian is this. The believer, the child of God, the Christian that has grown up in the faith, The mature Christian will be all the more a thing of delight and blessing. This is why Christ has singled out the date palm tree, as he speaks of its spiritual growth. Because this tree is unique in this sense. The older it gets, the sweeter and more productive it becomes. Well, so it is for the Christian who grows up in the faith, the mature Christian, the developing Christian, the advancing Christian in spiritual things. The more they grow, the more they advance. Then the sweeter will their life become. Their breasts, speaking about their heart and their affections, will be like clusters of dates, you see. It will be an abundance of sweetness, an abundance of light, a life. Oh, the mature Christian will be edifying to others. Edifying to others. Their life will be that which nourishes others. They will be a source of strength to others. They will be pleasant to be around. They will be those that encourage other believers and sustain other believers in the faith. This is the mature Christian. This is the growing Christian. This is a feature of the growing Christian. There will be this sweetness, this delight in their lives. The Word of God teaches us where there is immaturity in the Christian life, where there is no development and growth in the heart of a believer, instead of sweetness, you know what there'll be? There'll be bitterness. Bitterness. Turn with me just for a moment over to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice what it says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And the church in Corinth had problems. They had difficulties. There was divisions and issues in the church. This was why Paul was writing to them. Notice what he says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. And so Paul is speaking to these believers, and he's telling them, you're just babes. You've never grown up in the faith. You're immature. You're just like children. And I can't even feed you good meat, because you're so weak and so underdeveloped. But then notice the words of verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? See what he's saying here? See the conclusion he draws? He says all of this strife and all of these divisions and all of this turmoil, do you know what's a sign of? The fact that you're babes. You've never matured in the faith. You've never grown up. You're behaving in this childish way, like children fighting in the playground, because that's what you are spiritually. That's exactly what Paul was saying to these Christians. We need to pay close attention to what is said here in Scripture. Where there is division, where there is conflict, where there is trouble, do you know what it's a sign of? It's a sign of immaturity. Spiritual immaturity. Because where there is growth, and where there is spiritual development, where there is maturity, there will be a sweetness, an abundance of sweetness, breasts like clusters of dates. So we see here the delight of the growing Christian. The Christian who is spiritually mature, who is growing in the faith. Their life will be one that will be pleasant and sweet. It will be a blessing. It will be an encouragement to others. This is one of the great features of the growing Christian. So therefore we see here in the growing Christian, the features of a growing Christian. There will be their desire to live closer to God. There will be their diet. They will draw food and nourishment from the Word of God and fellowship with Christ. Then there will be this delight. This living, a life that will be sweet and wholesome to others. the features of the growing Christian. Are these features found in your life? Are these things that you can identify with today? Are you like the palm tree? Is this your stature? Is this the very manner of your life? Our time is gone today, and I'm just going to leave it because I don't want to rush my next 2 points, the fellowship of the growing Christian and the fruit of the growing Christian. But just as we think of the features here, as we think of this truth that is brought before us today, let us consider our own hearts today. Are these features something that we can see in our own lives? This desire to know God more, this diet in which we feed upon the truth, and this delight, we are like mature palm trees, producing fruit that is wholesome and good. These things are brought to our attention today that we might consider our own lives and our own spiritual experience. Are we growing Christians? May God bless these thoughts to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen. Let's just close in a word of prayer and commit our way unto the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for thy truth. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And we pray, O God, that even as we have come to see these features of the growing Christian, the believer who's developing spiritually, as we have considered these things today, we pray, O God, that you would enable us to be honest with our own hearts. We pray, O God, for each believer here in this house, that there would be that growth, that progress, that development in their own spiritual experience. Lord, it is not your will that we should be babes, like it was said of the Christians in the church in Corinth. It is not your will that we should continue on as but children. But Lord, it is your will that we should grow and develop into maturity and to be those that are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Help us to be men in faith. Help us, O God, to put on Christ more and more in our lives and to become like our Savior. Pray, O bless your truth to each one of our hearts. Be with those that leave us and continue with us as we meet around your table. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.